singing those words, I will arise and go to Jesus. And He will embrace me in His arms. There is power in the name of Jesus. Wow, those are powerful. We're gonna talk about that here in a little while. We're gonna experience that here in just a few moments as we spend some time praying and being in His presence. I hope you will experience that in a very personal way. Really glad to see you and glad you're here today, especially if you're a guest or a visitor, and just pray that you come back and hang out with us again. We're so glad to have you here and trust that you have already been blessed as we have spent these moments together in worship. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you what, I read the end of James's letter and I was just blown away with the thought that the God of the universe, the God of the universe, the one who hung the stars in space, the one who created all that we see, all that we know, that the God of the universe hears my prayers. Hears our prayers. I mean, how amazing is that? To think that God, this great big God, looks down and He knows who I am. And He knows who you are. He knows my needs. And He knows your needs. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, that blows me away to think that God cares about me that much. That He, I don't know, to know that God is mindful of our needs. To know that God listens. In fact, I found this graphic. I thought, man, this is cool. Because when we pray, God hears more than we say. I mean, think about that for a moment. This God who is all-knowing and all-powerful and everywhere present knows more than we say, answers more than we ask, gives more than we imagine, and in His own time and in His own way. I don't know, man. Again, I read James, and I'm like, wow. The God of the universe desires to have a relationship, an intimate relationship with us. I mean, think about that for a moment. I mean, that is mind-boggling to me. That the God who put all of this in motion wants to be in a relationship with each one of us. That He loves us that much. That He wants to embrace us. He wants to be in intimate fellowship with you and me. To think that He loves us so much that He sent His only Son to live, to die, and to rise again. Now, you know what? If you want to, you can think that's just perfectly normal. But to me, it blows me away. Just to think about the magnitude of that. To think that God knows you and me well enough that we can arise and run to Him and know that He will embrace us in His arms. Wow. You know, we've been working our way through this letter to James. From James to the church, and we've been just living into this thing about how to have real faith for real life, trying to figure out what that looks like and what that means for each one of us, and we knew, and we've read that all of these persons that James is writing to have been living in the midst of persecution. They've been living in the midst of trials and struggles and stress. They've been getting beat up by life on a daily basis. And you know, when you think about it, that's not too far removed from you and me, is it? I mean, don't we go through that same kind of thing? We get beat up every day by life. It seems like things are going, sometimes it's just crazy in our lives. Sometimes there are stresses. Sometimes there are tribulations. Sometimes there are trials. Things happen. And we struggle through all that stuff. And yet James says to the people who read this letter, James said, look, just keep going. Just keep going. Be steadfastly faithful to the one who is steadfastly faithful to you. He challenges us over and over and over again. He challenges them and he challenges you and me to know that it is, without question, it is worth it to be in a relationship with Jesus. He challenges us to know that it is worth it to do all that we can to live out our faith outside of these walls, outside of a Sunday morning. He challenges us to know that it is worth it to be a Jesus follower no matter how difficult life gets. He wants us to know that living life with Jesus, even in the difficulties, even in the struggles, even in the tough times, is better than life without Jesus. And then he ends this letter with these last eight verses that are in your bulletin this morning. So grab your bulletins if you've set that aside. And or grab your Bibles and turn to James chapter 5, and we're going to start at verse 13. And I'm going to read this passage and just want you to kind of follow along and be blown away with who Jesus is to you and me. What James said to the people he was writing to very early on in chapter 1, he said, look, when life is hard, when you're going through struggles, when life is full of temptations and trials and things that are really difficult, what he say? He says, pray. Ask God. Consider it joy, consider it happiness, and then pray about it. And then we come to these verses. Listen to this. Are any of you suffering hardships? I don't know, maybe that fits someone here today. Maybe you're going through a tough time in life. Maybe life isn't as easy today as it was a month ago or weeks ago or a year ago. Life has been hard. Maybe you're dealing with that. If you're dealing with hardships, what's he say? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. And then listen to this next part. I think it's bold in your bulletin. Are any of you sick? And James doesn't really help us see what that word sick means. But that sickness could be anything. It could be a spiritual sickness. It could be a physical sickness. It could be just some kind of an emotional baggage thing you're carrying around with you, you've been carrying for years. And maybe like some people, maybe you've gotten good at wearing a mask and hiding it pretty well. Might be an addiction. I mean, there's lots of things that sickness could be. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And such a prayer, offered in faith, will heal the sick. The Lord will make you well. And if you've committed sins, you'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And then he goes on to in these next couple of verses, to talk about Elijah and just the example that Elijah was. Elijah was as human as we are. And yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and then is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings that sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. Now, James, I don't know, to me, again, James just seems to offer this really simple plan to help you and me as Jesus followers to navigate our way through the tough times in life. It's there in verse 14. Are you in trouble? Are you struggling? Are you having trials in your life? If you are, this seems pretty simple, but pray. Just pray. And then if you need some help in that, then you ask others to pray with you. That seems pretty simple, right? And then he says, look, are you happy? Are you happy? I mean, do you have anything to rejoice about? Are we grateful for the air that we breathe? Are we thankful that we can see, or that we can hear, or that we can think or talk, that we have food to eat, that we have clothes to wear, that we have friends, that we have family, that we have a place to come and worship? And if we are, if we can find anything to be happy about in any of that, what's he say? Sing songs of praise and thanksgiving, which I believe are a form of prayer. Listen, you and I are not the first ones to face crazy and turbulent days. These people that James is writing to, they were facing turbulent and crazy days. They were facing some difficult times in life. We're not going to be the last ones to face crazy and turbulent times. But while we're on that journey, this is what James is like, listen, while you're on that journey, let God be out in front. Let God be out in front. Let Him clear that pathway for you. Now, you know, I read verses 14 to 16, and the reason I put them in bold in your bulletin is I read those verses and I think to myself, wow, I've read that, a lot, many times. What does it really mean to call on the elders of the church to pray? What does that look like? And I, to be honest with you, I've seen people misuse these verses. I've been in churches where I've seen television preachers that have totally misused and misrepresented what God is saying here through James. Almost making a mockery of this idea of anointing and praying. And what I can tell you from my own experience, and Mel and I have done this hundreds of times. People have said, can we be anointed? Can we be prayed for? And we're like, well, sure we can. But listen, what we have said and what we will continue to say, we will always say, is that there is not one thing that is magical about the oil that we anoint you with. There's not magic in this little bottle. There's not magic in this little vial that I have on my keychain that I carry around with me all the time. There's nothing magical in this. Not only that, There's no hocus pocus in the prayers that we pray. You know what this means? What this passage really is saying is that here's what we do. Mel says it. What is it you say, Mel? Mel says, if I understood it, what is that you say about understanding? If I knew what I understood, I couldn't tell you, or something like that. You say some, anyway.
I'd explain it to you, but I barely understand.
There you go. I'd explain it to you, but I barely understand it myself. And sometimes I look at God's Word, I'm like, I'd explain it to you, but I barely understand this. I don't understand how answered prayer happens all the time. Because I don't see it happen in the same way all the time. But what I do know is that God does answer our prayers. God does answer our prayers. And I want us as a church to know that God does answer our prayers. God does care when we're struggling with life. God does care when we have a deep need. God does care when we're going through trials and when temptations come. God does care. And God does answer our prayers. What I know from this passage and what I've thought about in all of my ministry is this. I need to come to God, and even if I don't understand it all, I need to come before God with this deep sense of humility. Saying, God, I don't get it, but I know that you do. I don't get it, but I know that you do. We come to God, and maybe it's as simple as just saying this. God, you are way bigger than what we see in front of us. I don't know how many times I've prayed that in the hospitals. God, you're way bigger than what we see in front of us. I have no clue what you want to do here in this person's life. You're way bigger than that. And the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit is more than we can even grasp. You are way bigger than the doctors that are going to care for this person in a few moments. In fact, your word tells us that you're the great physician. You're bigger than our need. And you have a big love for us. So when I know all of that, when I humble myself before you, because I know that, God, I am going to willingly yield myself to your will. One of the things we learned in our Wednesday night class on the book of James, and that I've learned through this study, is that oftentimes the Bible says, has this word submit. And if we take that word submit and find out and discover, dig down to what it really means, it's that we willingly yield. So even when I don't understand it, even when I can't make sense of the 2+2 thing, I willingly yield myself to the presence and the power of God. I'm going to willingly yield myself to His plan, what He's got in mind, because it may be something way different than what I have in mind, and way better than what I have in mind. And somehow this God who is all-knowing and all-powerful and everywhere present listens to the prayers of His people. And what I know is that I can trust God, even when I don't get it. That's the good news. That's the good news from what James is telling us. And listen, you may be here today and just struggling with life. And you may be like, man, life is just kicking me in the tail, and I just don't know how to get past this. I'm dealing with something so deep within inside me, I don't know the answer. That sickness that James talks about is real in my life. And I don't know what that might be in your life or even in my life. But in a moment like this, I want to willingly yield myself. And I want to ask you to willingly yield yourself to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if there's a deal going on in your life right now, whether it's a physical thing, a mental thing, an emotional deal, whether it's some addiction of some kind, whatever it might be that you've been covering it up and hiding it, and you just don't know how to deal with it, today may be the day. I pray that today will be the day that you would walk down this aisle and ask Mel or I to anoint you with oil and to pray for you. Now, I'm telling you, there's nothing magical in this oil, is there? We didn't put any potion in it.
No rabbit's foot.
There's no hocus pocus going on. But listen, as I said at the very beginning, we are calling on, listen to this, the God of the universe to move in the lives of his people. And that's a prayer of faith. And I know that when we express faith, God somehow shows up and somehow shows off, and we just want to let him do that. So maybe today you're here and you've just been struggling with something, and you just, maybe, I don't know what it might be, but you want to say, I want to just put myself out there. And it's a step of faith to get out of that chair. I know that. It's a step, it's faith when you get up out of that chair today and walk down this aisle. But maybe that's what you need to do today. So if that's what you want to do, we're going to take a few minutes. And if, as long as people come, if you want to be prayed for, just anointed with oil and prayed for, then you're welcome to come. There's no order. It's just as God's Spirit moves you to get up out of that seat in faith, you come on and we'll pray for you.